Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, a cinema manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair. I'm a film and theatre maker based on the island of Mull, and I also suffer from hay fever.
And Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? Tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger, and leave things.
Or bits. I'd lean into the bits this week.
Oh, yeah, please leave it alone.
As it were. We're going to start, as we normally do, with a frequently asked question, which I'm hoping is going to lead into an intellectual conversation, Alistair.
Right, okay.
How do you feel about that?
I possibly, yes.
The frequently asked question is actually taken from the Facebook pages of various cinemas, rather than something that I get asked a lot. And you'll see why in a second. The question is, how on earth do you get to speak to an actual human?
Oh, is that when you phone up to book tickets and cinemas and things like that?
Yes, indeed. Or not even phone up, the actual way of getting through to somebody at the larger chains seems to be fairly difficult. Yeah, indeed. My answer to that question is go to an indie cinema. to Campbelltown Picture House, although I've just realised we don't actually have a phone, but we do talk to our customers a lot. So indies versus chains is
that's a great question.
The little can of worms that I'd like to open. Obviously, I'm team indie in a sort of viscerally, I'm team indie because I manage an independent cinema.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts, Al?
I like both. I mean, I do prefer indie cinemas because there's a lot more kind of character and flavour in them than kind of long corridors with cinemas sprawling off to the sides. But those spaces have their kind of own appeal as well. And a lot of the time they're very convenient. So say like when I'm working in Edinburgh or whatever, I'll nip into the View cinema there, or the Omni or whatever, or the there's one in Glasgow as well. I forget the names of the chains because they kind of all kind of collapsed.
Let's call them all Cineworld.
Yeah, Cineworlds, exactly, yeah. And, you know, they're fine. They're functional spaces for what they are. They're really designed specifically to be that and nothing else. So, yeah, if you want to see someone like me, so I live in Mull, so if I'm travelling through to Glasgow Airport or Glasgow itself or Edinburgh or on to somewhere else, sometimes I don't have long sections of time. So a smaller independent cinema might not have screenings at times that were convenient for what my own personal timetable is. So a larger screening, a larger cinema such as a chain cinema is actually quite good for me to kind of dip in and go, all right, I can finally get to see that film at 2:15 in the afternoon when it's raining and I wasn't going to do anything particularly profound at that point. Apart from look at socks and Marks and Spencers.
Obviously, I think there's a space for both for the exact reasons that you were talking about. There is an argument that I've heard with whether chain cinemas, when there's an independent film that does really well, chain cinemas should back off and not screen it. I heard this particularly around The Intouchables. Do you mind that film?
Oui.
The French version. And it did really, really well and it started off in independent cinemas and it did really well. And it was selling out, running forever. And so the chains picked it up, which is, you know, fair enough business proposition. You know, if something's doing really well, they'll pick it up. But there was an argument from the indies saying, just back off, leave alone. You've got the big blockbusters that see you through. Let us have this. Which I'm not really sure where I fall. I mean, emotionally, I fall on very much on the side of if an independent film does well in an independent cinema, then come on, mate, let us have it.
Yeah.
But as you say, there's heaps. You can get more screenings done in a bigger cinema, and it's more convenient for people. It's more of a space that certain people might feel more welcome in. Yeah. In a larger chain than in a small independent cinema where maybe people feel judged if they walk in and they don't know everything about Truffaut.
Yes, no, that's the fascinating thing. There's a great example of this is that Georgia, my wife, and Col, my son, went to see the Ninjago movie in Glasgow. And it was, oh, it's a good few years ago now. And they sat down, Cole was very excited to see it. He was, you know, 9 or something at the time. And there was a group of old ladies came in and sat down. And as the lights went down, they brought out their Tupperware and they sat and had their lunch and watched this. And Georgia thought, are you sure you want to see the Ninjago movie? She was about to go say to them, you know, this is the Ninjago movie. But she thought, oh, we'll just leave them to it. And it was definitely the Ninjago movie they wanted to see, because they sat, they nattered a wee bit beforehand, they had their lunch while the trailers were on, and then they fell asleep. And that was what they did. That was their group of pals who went together to go and see stuff in a chain cinema and fall asleep like that. And it's lovely. And, you know, they could probably have done it in the GFT in Glasgow as well. You know, it's kind of lovely.
It just has a warm space. Cinema's, yeah, totally. Just become a warm space.
Well, that's very much a thing of and contemporary issues as well. It's one worth throwing open to discussion. If anyone wants to kind of say anything on that, do send us an email to that effect as well, saying, as someone involved in View Cinemas, I must admit that, or whatever. The point I wanted to make as well is that indie cinemas can be more responsive than chain cinemas. They can respond to their community in a way that indies wouldn't do with such ease, to my understanding of it. I was talking to a guy who is a film lecturer down in England and has a film podcast a few months ago, and he was saying that what we did with Camden Picture House's 30 Films to See Before You're 30, which was an initiative to draw people back in after the pandemic by screening a selection of films that we could get that were 30 films we thought kind of vital to see before you were 30.
Yeah, it was round about that time when there was absolutely nothing coming out because distributors were wary about releasing films.
Much like it will be after the Writers Guild strikes as well in America in a few months' time. I think we'll find
indeed, very interesting.
But all strength to their shoulder on that. That does need addressed. But yeah, the thing was that we made these short promo films to support the 30 Films to See Before You're 30 screenings, so that whenever anyone would see it, there was like a minute and a half or two long film of me going, this film is The Untouchables. It's terribly important because Sean Connery loses his Irish accent at least 2 minutes into the film. That kind of style of thing. And anyway, I was chatting to this guy about, you know, about these films, and he was saying that is something that he could never see in the chain of cinemas that he goes to down in Sussex or wherever it is, because they don't respond to their audience in that way. Whereas a smaller independent cinema has a lot more flexibility to engage with its community and respond to things and create things. So I thought that was kind of fascinating as well. And I'm a cinema viewer and I love watching cinema. You know, if I can support an indie, definitely I can. I do. But if it doesn't fit for my timetable, I'll go to whatever's most convenient. But I'm deeply in favour of independent cinemas.
And just a note about the 30 films to see before you're 30. All of the intro videos that you did are available on Campbelltown Picture House's YouTube channel.
And I really enjoyed making those films, particularly the one about Alien, because I got to be very, very rude about the film Pumethanus, or as some people call it, Prometheus. But it's really Pumethanus because it's full of methanus poo. Sorry, Mari, who loves that film. But it's rubbish. Apart from the start. The start's really, really good. The start's amazing.
It's another film that I didn't mind. Right, moving on. I've got a quiz for you.
Oh, excellent. Which movies do you like and I hate? Let's find out.
I thought we had a quite similar film taste until we started talking about this. And it turns out I think most films are fine, but should be half an hour shorter.
Yes.
And you I think some them. Films are awful. You hate awful.
And should be burned.
No, you yes. don't. Right, I'm going to give you the titles of some reviews. They're all complaining about the same thing.
Oh.
And I want you to guess what you think they're complaining about. The first one is quite broad. Odeon is shit.
I wonder if it's to do with toilets.
Okay. The second one is Curzon is better, Odeon is wank.
I hope it's not anything to do with bodily fluids.
I've got a wanking in the toilet story, but we're just not going to do that. We'll do it another time. And then the third one, which may give you a little bit more help, is Profiled due to my attire.
Ooh.
And it pertains to a thing that happened 3 or 4 months ago surrounding a children's film.
Oh, is it to do with people turning up in suits to go and watch the Minions movie?
It is indeed. So the reviews go, Curzon is better, Odeon is wank. They didn't let us in for wearing suits. I'm not a fucking tramp, says one person. Another person, we went to watch Minions Rise of Gru wearing suits, as the majority of people were doing. I don't think it is the majority of people. And it's literally just a bit of fun. Plus, what difference does it make if we wear suits? But before we could even pay for our tickets to see the film, we instantly got told that we weren't allowed in because we were wearing a blazer and tie.
Aww. I thought that was a really great thing. That was a really kind of, I guess it was disruptive, but at the same time, it was quite like, that's sort of wild performance art kind of conceptual thing. I thought that was great.
Oh, I disagree entirely.
Did you have it happen at yours?
No, never. No, we never had it. I don't know what we'd have done. Actually, do you know what we'd have done? We would have known the kids.
Yeah.
Because we know all the kids because we live in Campbelltown, and we'd have told them that if they misbehaved, they'd have got chucked out, and we'd have told their mums because we're probably friends with their mum. You know, another benefit of an independent cinema versus a chain.
I know your mum.
And I'm going to tell her if you're born naughty.
Oh, talking of which, I have a resolution to a story from an earlier podcast that I totally forgot about. It was earlier on in the series, I mentioned that my mate Ewan took his mum's engagement ring to the cinema and lost it. I had stored this story away in my head for years, thinking, you know, well, that's pretty traumatic. I probably better not bother Ewan with that story. Anyway, I said to him, well, we're doing this podcast and I mentioned your mum's engagement ring story. He went, oh, I'd forgotten about that. I said, what actually happened to it? Where was it? Did they ever find it? He said, it was in my pocket all along.
Oh my god.
So he had it in his pocket, thank goodness. But isn't that crazy?
That's wild. Did he say how long it...
Oh, I can't remember exactly how. I think he went home going, I'm sorry, Mum, I lost your ring. And he got a hell of a telling off. And then put his hand in his pocket and went, oh no, here it is. And the other thing as well, when talking in one of the previous episodes about the Children's Film Foundation films, well, I like to think of yourself as a nice child. We were quite rotten children in some ways. And whenever it came up, it was CFF with the letters. And we used to shout, City, fuck, fuck. For it. Because we were children.
It's the most imaginative thing you could think of.
Well, no, it seemed the most true. Yeah, let's go see a City, fuck, fuck film. Come on, yeah. Which, the other thing we used to do as well is the paper tickets. He used to scrunch them up and make spitballs with the straws from your juice and throw them around, ping them around at each other.
Yeah.
So that was naughtiness. Naughtiness.
Yeah, you're banned from my cinema now.
Sorry. Yeah. I promise I won't do it again.
I've got a couple of callbacks as well.
Cool.
I was speaking to a friend of mine, Millie, we're going to call him. One of the things that he reminded me of was that when we were talking about cinema animals,
yes,
we had a snake.
Oh, awesome.
It was part of promotion for Jungle Book. It was the live action adaptation of Jungle Book. And
that's such a good idea.
I know, well, it was Millie's idea. It was not mine. He was the assistant manager and I was the manager at this point. And so we got the snake in and it was a beautiful big albino python.
Oh.
And people would come and have their photos taken with it. And it was great. And then the people with the snake, once they'd done all their bits and pieces, they were like, oh, we'd really quite fancy watching the film. Do you mind if we leave the snake in the office? And I was like, yes, I would love that. They went in and watched the film and I had this big python, very placid big python, just sort of hanging out in the office.
Oh,
it was one of the
amazing.
Best.
Amazing.
One of my favourite days. Emails. I've just sent you an email to read out. We are going back to Leo with their cinema in Argyle somewhere that's not Campbelltown Picture House. Do you have it?
I do. Which one do you wish? Do you wish Poop Story or Stuff I Found?
What kind of question is that? If there's a poop story, I want the poop story.
Poop story. I have a few, but this one is the best/worst. A little kid. around six, had been left by the parents alone to watch whatever Disney film was on at the time. They snuck out the side fire door, and we only discovered this due to the incident.
See, that's I'm already riled up because the parents leaving children on their own is a cause of great consternation, especially when they're very little. We don't have a rule, a lower rule, because we think that parents tend to be sensible, but some of them are not.
Indeed.
Sorry. Go back to poo.
The little kid must have decided he really needed to go, and he nipped out to the toilet. I was chatting to the usher and the cashier at the front of house when said little boy came out to the main desk to ask for assistance to wipe his bum.
What?
Oh, wee thing.
Oh, little pet. Now I'm feeling sorry for the job.
This person will now be in their 30s, bear in mind.
I know.
A 30-year-old man. I need a hand with my bum, please.
It's now my dream to hear from the child in this story.
To paint a vibrant picture, to get from the toilet in Studio A to the front desk required about a 10-foot walk to the double doors, down four steps, a right turn through another set of double doors. He managed this with his trousers and pants round his ankles, all the while with a trail of diarrhoea, and also managed to have a large explosion on his clothes. Oh, poor thing!
Oh my God.
God. The toilet itself was way worse. I assumed to attempt not to soil himself, they'd stripped prior to the toilet and had many an explosive and violent shart managing to cover a considerable amount of the room, doors and walls, sink, and even the side of the toilet. Best of all, the film was still not even halfway through.
God, so this child and the mother's gone as well.
Oh, maybe they knew.
This is not...
We can't face it.
This is not just a clean-up operation. This is now a babysitting stroke clean-up.
Totally. Unfortunately, a hugely important pending potential disaster in the projection room took my attention away from the clean-up, and the usher and cashier were left to deal with the poonami. The cashier was a trainee nursery teacher, so I assumed she was fully trained to deal with the situation. Once cleaned up, my projector room potential disaster somehow went away. Almost.
Absolute chance.
As if it hadn't existed. When I got back downstairs, the child was cleaner, but still in the company of the cashier with a rather potent mix of air freshener and poop in the air. The child was not for going back in at all, and also didn't know their phone number or address. When the film ended, the parents sat outside in the car, tooting the horn. The cashier went out to speak to them, but I'm told rude was the understatement of how they treated her. Yet again, a potential disaster took me away from the thorough cleanup that was required post-screening. Oh, that's tragic.
That's a wee shame, that is. I like the image of Leo needing quickly, I need to dash to projection. I just sense that there's something going on up there. That was always the joy of...
Yeah, there's a bobbin gone wrong.
That's always the joy of being a projectionist, is that you can have an urgent business upstairs.
Unlike the child, who also had urgent business, but downstairs. Anyway, poor wee thing. Thank you, Leo. That's very much appreciated. And if anyone knows the cinemas of Argyll, they'll know exactly which cinema that is by the description of the stairs. But that's great.
And it has been refurbished since. But some say as you go down the corridor,
you can still
smell
of the poonami of 92.
Right. Shall we, for God's sake, wrap up?
Well, thank you so much for listening. And sorry, I'm trying to put my serious voice on now. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have any stories you want to share with us, please feel free to do so by sending it into our email, which is
downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com, or we are on the various social medias, Down the Back of the Seats.
See you again soon. Cheers. Thank you.